Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. I'm on the show today to remind everybody there are only 12 shopping days until Christmas in November.
Correct.
And we also like to refer to that as Kellymas.
Yes! It's so, my birthday on the 16th.
So you're just going to have to wait. I'm not going to wish you a happy one until then.
No, you shouldn't.
Just, you know, because...
As with all things, there's an appropriate window for that sort of behavior, and we're not quite there yet. I understand.
Tissa. Patient. John Martellaro, how are you?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Sweet little me. I'm here.
And it's good to have you here. It's good to have both of you here. It's also good to have Drobo as our sponsor this week. So thank you, Drobo. Woohoo. And topics. I have a couple things that I thought would be really interesting to hit with you guys. And the first one is there's a new Star Trek series coming in 2017. Holy crap. And so television series. See, I'm so worked up, I can't even
words are hard.
Boy, howdy. Anyhow, new Star Trek series coming in 2017 on CBS, and we don't know details about the show yet. The assumption is that this is going to be a TV series that takes place in the rebooted timeline, but we don't know for certain. It could be in the original timeline.
The TV timeline we're familiar with.
Right, which would include classic Star Trek, Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we don't know yet. But what we do know is that CBS is going to distribute the show through their own system, which is called CBS All Access. And that means it's not going to be distributed on television channels. This is going to be internet distributed through their own pay service.
Which on paper sounds like a good idea. We're going to take a show that has generally been beloved by nerds and people of a more technical slant, and we're going to market it to them in a way that is not broadcast television. We're going to market it to people who maybe have cut the cord, people who have something attached to a television in their home besides a cable box, and we're going to see about sending it, you know, building an audience that way.
I don't see it that way. That sounds like a great idea. I don't see it that way. Oh, I think you're getting set up here. Oh, okay. Now the punchline's coming. I'll let you go with it.
No, that's totally it. That's all I had to say.
No, on paper. Well, that's not right.
Yeah. On paper, it sounds like a good idea to take. You wouldn't take something like Say Yes to the Dress or Real Housewives of Rural Kansas. You're not going to put that on an internet streaming only paid thing. Like, the audience for that is not necessarily going to have any overlap with those other audiences. That's the reason I thought Star Trek sounds like it. Now, if you want a punchline, I'm going to say that the Live Long and Prosper emoji coming out this year and the announcement of a show that we're not going to get for more than a year, all coming out now, is just Star Trek realizing that Star Wars has an actual film being released soon and is jumping up and down and yelling, look at me, I'm still pretty.
Kelly, I have to disagree with you. I'm sure you do. The issue is that Star Trek, I think where you went wrong is that Star Trek has a wider affection in our culture than just the nerds.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't. My theory is that's the core of the audience. Yeah,
I think what happened is that the CBS executives got the bright idea that because Star Trek is so beloved and it would be so popular amongst the masses, not everyone, but, you know, it's a cultural thing. I mean, we've been doing it for 40 or 50 years, just like Doctor Who in America, right? So that...
Not like Doctor Who in America at all. Doctor Who in America's UK.
It's version
of Star Trek. It's the long-living legacy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. The idea would be, well, we got to get CBS All Access on a firm footing. We got to get our subscribers up. Here's what we'll do. We'll strong arm the viewers into subscribing to CBS All Access, and then we'll dump commercials on them. And as soon as people figured out that they wouldn't be able to watch Star Trek on network, they wouldn't be able to use their DVRs, skip through commercials, they had to sign up for a fee, they had to pay a subscription service to get Star Trek, they go, oh, no, we ain't going to do this. And so there was some pushback. And so then today, the CEO of CBS, Les Moonves, comes out with a kind of a backtrack, like, oh, well, we're not going to force you to watch commercials. We're going to give you an all-access version ad-free for $9.99 a month. And it looks like a serious backtrack to me,
well,
to the initial strong-arm tactic.
Right. Well, the thing I'll give them credit for in this latest move is that at least they're being upfront about it, because by offering an ad-free option, that implies that the lower-priced one will have commercials. And I think that's one thing that I know a lot of cord cutters initially are surprised by, is like, wait, I'm paying for Hulu, but I still have to sit through ads.
That you can't skip over.
It's
contest where there's tweezers in your eye, you know, and you have to sit there and watch the commercials.
Yeah, and it feels sort of like you didn't gain anything at that point by getting rid of cable.
And this is an issue for the whole OTT industry and the subscription services.
John, you make it sound like watching television at your house is something out of Brazil.
Why? I was going to say Clockwork Orange.
Or Clockwork Orange, yeah.
Well, watching, that's why I don't watch Hulu, is because I don't have the patience to sit through forced commercials. And I love my DVR. I have DirecTV, and I have a high-definition DVR, and I record one night. And then because my wife has a teaching schedule, she's not always there to watch the show, you know, or buffer it up and skip through commercials. So we'll record a show one night, and then we'll watch it the next night, breeze through the commercials, and we have a library of shows we want to watch. And when we're ready, we go with it. And that's a really nice way to go. And what customers and your listeners need to be aware of is that you may think you're saving a lot of money in the cord cutting process, but by the time you add up all of these subscription fees and end up having to sit through commercials that you can't skip over anyway, you're sort of, you know, zero sum game. You haven't gained anything. So that's why a lot of people, according to my reading anyway, are doing a supplemental thing right now through the transition. They have cable and a DVR, they have satellite and a DVR, and then they're supplementing with Apple TV and having Netflix and some subscription services they like HBO Now and so on. So, you know, we're kind of in a transition period, but as the industry tries to move us over and wean us away from DVRs and get 100% internet TV, it's going to be an interesting process to watch about how we can do that in the Netflix style without commercials, because I want to pay for TV I watch and not have to be subjected to commercials. It's, you know, when you watch a theatrical movie, it's fun. I mean, you sit down, you have some popcorn, you know, and you watch a two-hour movie, and it's that's the way to do it. And so when you watch a TV show that's really good and you really like, you'd like to do the same thing. And Netflix has delivered on that experience. And so trying to divert us away from that is going to be something that a lot of people aren't going to really like too much. And so I think what Moonves is doing is covering his bets and saying, hey, we better have a service that gives some people what they want, a lower cost, and, you know, you can sit through the commercials, or we're going to give people a higher monthly price. But, you know, the fee for Netflix has been, what, $8.99 for a long time. $9.99 for just CBS content seems a little high, but he's thinking the right way.
Well, okay, so do you think that even though there are a lot of people putting their ranty pants on about the CBS paywall for Star Trek, do you think the series has a chance at being successful, or do you think CBS is essentially killing it before it gets out of space dock?
Well, I think they're going to go through phases of disbelief.
There.
And I think the start was we're going to strong arm people because Star Trek is so popular, and we're going to get our subscription rates up for all access. And then somebody said, no, that's not a really good idea, because we're not going to have the viewership that we wanted. So we better offer this $9.99 service so people don't have to go through the ads. And then I think the phase three of enlightenment is finally going to be, well, we better put it on the network and get some ad revenue and appeal to a lot of people, or the whole thing's going to flop.
It would be like UPN all over again.
Yes. And I think that part of what's going to happen here is really important. And I hope that that this isn't how it ends up being, but I have a feeling that what's going to happen is even if they offer both tiers, there are going to be a lot of people who are either going to go, I'm a cord cutter, I'm paying for the services I like, I can't justify this much a month for a single show. Or you're going to get people who are paying for cable and are going, are you insane thinking I'm going to pay more for more television? That's not going to happen either. And then they're going to point at it and they're going to go, obviously, TV over the internet is an utter failure because we couldn't get Star Trek off the ground on an internet as an internet only thing. And, you know, the answer I have to that is House of Cards. Hello. Transparent, which is a great show, which they're shooting a second season of, which is only available on Amazon Prime, gave them huge numbers. Mm-hmm. House of Cards does gangbusters every time, you know, Valentine's Day weekend, or as I always called it, 8-bit weekend, because everything I tried to do on Netflix looked like Super Mario Brothers.
Yep. And then we also have Sense8, and we have Daredevil.
And those are shows that are appealing to people who are like, wait, what? Daredevil is a comic book? You know, like, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff that is happening with television once people got out from under the, I know it's not this anymore, but the three network system. You know, like, HBO started that ages ago. Like, you know, think all the way back to even before The Sopranos, when HBO was doing original programming. They've been doing it for a while. They've got it dialed in now with a little something you may have heard of called Game of Thrones. Holy cow. When you can make a joke like that in mainstream television, you know, network TV, I've seen more than one reference to Game of Thrones in shows that I watch. So it's obviously huge. And it's on a channel that you can't get without paying for it one way or another. You're either paying your cable company or you're paying HBO for HBO Now. I want Star Trek to succeed for Star Trek's sake. I don't want Star Trek to have to bear the brunt of all of this other stuff that's going on that really doesn't have anything to do with Star Trek. And that's the thing that worries me about this, is that one of two things is going to happen. They're going to blame Star Trek for not being able to launch internet television into the stratosphere, or it's going to end up damaging Star Trek because they're going to go, well, obviously there's no interest in another Star Trek series. Although a look at any reasonable nerd's Twitter timeline over the last 48 hours should prove that completely wrong to you.
There are definitely some feels about the new Star Trek series.
So many feels, because everybody's just freaking out about how exciting it's going to be to get Star Trek on TV again. And see, I remember it as a kid because Next Generation was syndicated, and then later I got more into the older shows. So it's one of those things where, like, I remember it being a thing where you had to wait every week. Like, it's not on until Saturday, and what's going to happen? You know, sort of like we get Doctor Who now. And it was a really great thing, and I kind of miss that. And I hope that they can bring enough to the table to turn this into something that they can do. Maybe the first run will be on internet TV. Like, if I was Les Moonves, what I would be doing is I would run the whole season on All Access first. That's just not going to be the only place it ends up. I would make it like a show that airs over the summer, you know, like they do with Under the Dome and some of the other summer programming. You know, maybe they run it in the winter and in the spring, and then when the season is over, then it gets run on like CBS one night a week, you know, which I'm sure is programming they could give up in the summertime. And then at least everybody would get a chance to see it. But if you didn't see it first, and there's a huge cachet to that, maybe that would be something that would make it more of a viable product. Because I'm really worried about what this is going to end up doing to the brand of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Down the road, like, that's the thing that really worries me, is that I would love to have Star Trek back on TV, and it makes me sad that Les Moonves is going to try and make me pay that kind of money for it.
There's another thing they could do, is they could jigger the software and provide an all-access version that's free, and then there's one that's commercials with $5.99 a month and the $9.99 a month with ad-free, but the free version is limited. And put Star Trek on the free version and get people to download the app and get people watching the app. And then that's the opportunity to make them aware of what's offered by the paid tiers. Mm-hmm. And
Fox is doing that right now.
Yes.
They have their Fox Now channel on mm-hmm. Apple TV. You can watch for free, but if you pay, you get shows right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't pay, you have to wait several days before you can see an episode. You still have commercials, but you're just behind by several days.
Yeah. You see, there's lots of things that Mr. Moonves can do about to fix this problem. I think part of the issue is that we've got two revenue streams. We've got network, you know, traditional satellite and cable income, mm-hmm. call it X. And then you've got this supplemental income from internet TV, call it Y. And right now, Y is a small fraction of X. And so people don't want to, and even as people transition over to internet TV, they want to pay less because they're tired of their high cable bills. So how do you take X, which is getting smaller, and Y, which is already small, and take Y and grow it, which where people don't want to pay a lot for, and take the sum of X plus Y and still show growth? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And we're going to see how this all plays out. But we have a year before that because 2017, and it's still, it's almost the end of 2015. So, yeah, a little over a year.
And the last time I tried the CBS app, it sucked.
Well,
even before I paid for anything. So I hope that that's not another hurdle that ends up being part of this unsatisfactory experience. I hope it gets better.
Yes. All right. We can live in hope. And we'll have to come back and look at this later when we know more. Okay, and we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Drobo. And Drobo, if you're not familiar with them, they make these really cool hard drive systems. So it's a RAID is what it is. So you have a bunch of hard drives that are all grouped together to appear like they're a really big drive, and they're really easy to use. You just plug them in, and they do their thing. And if you have a drive that fails, you just pop it out while everything's still running, put a new drive in, and call it good. If a drive you decide is too small, pop it out, put a new one in while everything's running. It just keeps going, and you never lose any data. And that's one of the big things for the Drobo people. They wanted to come up with a way that makes it easy for us to not have to worry about losing data. And the way you can swap out the drives and everything just automatically reconfigures, and it's just really cool, and it does what it's supposed to do really well. Drobo systems are great for data backups. They're great for just regular data storage, and they make great media servers as well. And if you want to turn a Drobo into a media server, what you need to do is get the Drobo 5N and then put the Plex app on it, because that model, you can actually install Drobo apps. And then once you have the Plex app there, then you can install Plex on your Mac, on your Apple TV, your iPhone and iPad, whatever. And then you can watch the shows and movies that you've saved into Plex or onto your Drobo. You can listen to all the music that you've saved to your Drobo. There are Plex channels that you can watch. You can get regular TV shows right through your Plex. And it's really cool. And a Drobo can handle that really well. So what you need to do is save money when you buy one. And Drobo's making that really easy to do because they're giving all of Daily Observations listeners a $100 discount. So what you need to do is go to the Drobo website, drobostore.com, and then use the discount code TMO100. And then when you do that, you'll get $100 off either a Drobo Mini, which is their portable model, the Drobo 4 Bay, which is a desktop model with four drive bays in it, or the Drobo 5N, which has five bays and goes right onto your network. $100 off. That's pretty slick. So check it out, drobostore.com. Discount code is TMO100. And thank you, Drobo, for being our sponsor this week. All right. So we're like out of time. But there's one other thing I wanted to talk about real quick. So really all we're going to have time for is just your basic reactions. Mm-hmm. Amazon has a brick and mortar store that they opened in New York. I'm curious what you guys think about this. That this is a bookstore that they've opened up.
That's cute.
John, what do you
think? I think it's a little bit of Apple, and as Kelly said, Powell's bookstore envy. Having a physical presence has its virtues, and Amazon would like to perpetuate that, is to become more like a real company with a customer face and a customer relationship and showing off its wares. And it's not a bad idea.
I'm curious to see how viable this is, because Amazon sells books below cost. And when you have a physical store, you have real costs. You can't pay your rent below cost.
Right.
Landlords don't go for that. So I'm really curious to see how this Amazon bookstore does. It seems like a money-losing proposition for the company, but I'm sure they have a master plan that turns this into a revenue generator. I'm just curious to see what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Because as all of Amazon's competitors know, it's the brick-and-mortar bookstore business is really tough.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see how Amazon does. All right. So we really are out of time. John, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
It's always awesome to have you here. Kelly, thank you for being here as well.
Of course. My pleasure.
And I love doing shows with both you guys. Drobo, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Hit their website, drobostore.com. Use the discount code TMO100. Get $100 off a Drobo Mini, Drobo 4-Bay, or Drobo 5N, which is a really awesome deal. And listeners, thank you for joining us. I'll see everyone again tomorrow.